It is time to bring in the frickin' frack of Nick and Nack, Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You can find them on the web, tqag.com, or right here at Robin Hood Radio on a Tuesday morning. And let's open up the phone lines for Tim and Greg. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we're both in sunny Florida today?
No.
Oh, I know, that's too much to ask for.
Come on, Marshall. Come on.
No, in Detroit. In Detroit.
I'm in Florida.
Greg's in Florida, but I'm in Detroit working on several appraisal projects. So just a quick, I came up last night, leaving this afternoon, just quick down and back, up and back.
Detroit's made a little comeback after about 10 years ago when it got so horrible, bankrupt and everything like that. It's an interesting city that's in redevelopment. And what's the weather like there this morning? Is it pretty crummy or all right?
Cold. It's cold. Well, it's for me, it's 32, but it's not going to be too bad, thank goodness, so that I could just get in and out, because I know that there are some storms making their way across the country. So this time of year, I keep an eye on
what's going on. Snow-wise.
Yeah.
All right. No snow here in Florida.
No snow. Well, there's very little snow up here. Very little snow.
We have
up
a
here.
Little cold snap. We're down to 65.
Well, that can be devastating to some people down there.
Yeah.
It's time to bring out the ski parkers or that back then. All right. Well, you know, we've been talking about cars and auctions and everything like that. And how about Secretary of State Colin Powell's Corvette is up for auction? And the funny thing about the provenance on that car is he once drag raced Joe Biden in it.
I wonder if the documents were in the car at the time.
I don't know if they were. Well, the funny thing he normally drives. He used to normally drive a Chrysler PT Cruiser.
Okay.
But he also owned classic cars. If everybody knows about the PT Cruiser, it's not the most classic of vehicles, but that was his regular car. I think it's pretty cool that that car's up for auction once again. You know, the auction is that still going on, or is that finished in Arizona?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's still going on.
All right. Well, I love car auctions. That's all I can say about it. That's all. I just really love them. I love the cars, and I love the range of people that buy them. It's not, you go to an art auction, and pretty much you can imagine the image of somebody who's going to buy at an art auction. You go to a car auction, and it could be somebody that looks like your next door neighbor, or it could be a movie star. It's a totally different thing. And speaking about totally different, M&M sneakers. Joni Mitchell's portrait. Yep. That's going on at an auction block. It's going to benefit workers in the entertainment industry. I don't think his sneakers will be as popular as Michael Jordan's.
I would agree. I would agree. And to go back to answer your question just real quickly, the Corvette goes up for auction January 28th, so it's coming up, and it's being sold for charity. So it's at Bear Jackson, Scottsdale, Arizona, on the 28th. So there's your answer to that one. But I would agree. I don't think that the sneakers – that there is a sneaker market out there. People are collecting these things, but I think that it's commensurate with what those sneakers did, or who the person in the sneakers, what they did and when, because that's really what is driving the value of what these things are selling for. Is with, when you have somebody like Michael Jordan, especially game worn, and you can track it, it's got provenance, it's got everything going for it, that's all great. But was this just a promotional sneaker that was given to the artist, and did he wear it on stage? And so that also has to play into the overall value.
Yeah, they're a pair of white Nike Air Max sneakers. Now, I'm sorry, that's still not going to help match.
Not helpful. I know.
Well, let's just say, suffice it to say, Marshall, that your sneakers and my sneakers will never attain the value of even M&M's sneakers.
Well, my sneakers are not allowed on anybody but my feet. Once I change sneakers, they get instantaneously burned. Because I live in my sneakers. I live in them. They get kind of beat up. But there's a cool things there. If you're a Joni Mitchell fan, a watercolor of Joni Mitchell, which is going to be up for sale there. There's going to be a Les Paul guitar signed by all the members of Fleetwood Mac, which will be pretty popular. And also the acoustic guitar, which was autographed by Bruce Springsteen, Graham Nash, and Sheryl Crow. I mean, there are some pretty cool things up for the auction, and the auction is for a good cause. It's to help all the stars that didn't manage their money well. I'm sorry, it's a joke, but it's basically it's true.
There you go.
Basically, it's true.
That sounds like all I can say is at Christmas, Tim's sister got me a T-shirt, and she says to me, I hope you're not offended by this. And I looked at the T-shirt and said, oh, my God, you have my number. And it says, and it's very appropriate for what you just said, sarcasm is the body's excuse to combat stupidity. And it's very appropriate with what you just said, because to have an auction to benefit
distressed artists
that have lost their mojo is, you know.
Well, you see, there's not enough Medicare commercials. For these old stars,
right.
to
all-star.
I'm not sure that those Medicare commercials pay current rates right
lot.
Now.
No, but I'm sure it's not a whole lot.
You see people on those commercials and you say, holy smokes, like Jimmy Walker.
My dad goes crazy. Joe Namath. It's like, oh my God, Joe Namath. Isn't there anyone else they could get? Or, you know, J.J. Walker.
J.J. Walker. it's just, and the thing about Joe Namath, he doesn't look cool doing it. Like, he was cool. Right. Everything else he did early in life, this just didn't look cool. And we'll get away from that. Now, once again, something that will never happen to me but happen to somebody else, an oil sketch found covered with bird poop.
I saw that.
It's
yes.
In a farm shed. It's actually an early painting by a famous artist. It's going to auction, and they think it's going to fetch $3 million.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Bird droppings.
Without the droppings?
But it's,
I'm sure they're going to. Yeah, the sketch is by Van Dyke, and there it was in an old shed, and it's heading to auction. I am sure they are going to have that cleaned and get that cleaned up. But this was it's a study of Saint Jerome is what the subject matter is, and yeah, Sotheby's they think that it could bring up to $3 million in the Old Master paintings sale that's coming up.
When something like that survives, it really is amazing, especially being in a garage. I don't know if it was a temperature control garage or whatever, but still, something like that, which is, if it's left outside, is really susceptible to decay and rot, to make it through and be worth $3 million is amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Most definitely. And this there's other features, value characteristics of this piece. Not only was it created between 1615 and 1618, but it's only one of two known live model based studies by the artist, by Van Dyke. So having all that going in its favor, I think it will definitely really capture, I believe, a lot of people's interest, you know, for the bidding.
Now we have to bring this conversation down a little here. And Kim Kardashian.
Oh boy.
She got into a bidding war. to buy Princess Diana's amethyst cross pendant at the auction. I guess the big thing about this, why it's Princess Diana, but it's thought that that's only been worn by her, nobody else. So I think she purchased it for almost 200,000 pounds. That would be right around $200,000 for U.S. money, though. And it is a pretty piece. I mean, there's no getting around that. But the Kardashians, they have to make news one way or the other. Honest to gosh.
Absolutely.
But she seems to have a thing for, what's the word? I guess the correct word would be bespoke, I think. Pieces of memorabilia for, you know, she damaged the original Marilyn dress because she had to wear it for the gala at the Met. And then now this, I mean, it's almost as though she's trying to absorb the fame from those particular items because she has none.
Oh,
I mean,
Greg,
she has no talent.
Greg, it's so funny. In the article, it says the same thing that you're getting at. It says she is trying to traumatize the ghosts of iconic women. Oh my God! By latching on to these the legacies of the dead people. Oh my God! Yeah, she forked over, it says, about $197,453, and I mean it's a nice cross, fine, but it okay, yeah.
Now, this is something that we talked about. I forget. It was a while ago. And there's an article on this. And it's on charity art auctions. And what it is, people are saying that this is going to be a new model for offsetting taxes because the art industry, like everybody else, was always thought to be immune to bad things that happen, but that's not necessarily the case. Scott Rayburn's Annie Shaw report on auction houses, galleries, and artists mentioned that it's a big tax savings when you put these shows together now, and that's one of the top things that they're trying to do with the show, not necessarily move great pieces of art or great pieces, classic things, that the tax breaks are what motivate a lot of people. Do you think that's true?
I don't know. That seems like an awful slippery slope to me because one way or the other, the IRS is going to somehow get involved because if you purchased a piece at a charity auction and are expecting to get or you're selling a piece at a charity auction and you're expecting to get some major tax break, you're wrong. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. And somebody's going to get caught and it's going to all come down. It's that kind of mentality, in my estimation, is a house of cards, especially because we've seen it happen with the art on ships that were sold at
but that's ship auctions. That's not a charity auction. A charity auction.
I know, but charity auctions though, we've seen it happen where the artists decide, well, I want to donate this to this particular event, and this is going to be a big tax write-off for me. No,
not so much, because here's the whole thing, is that if you are buying artwork at auction, the donor must be able to show what the fair market value is, and the buyer can only take the deduction on anything over the fair market value. So mm-hmm. Let's say you donate a painting and has a fair market value of $10,000 and it only sells for $5,000. You know, neither party gets a donation on either side. But if you are donating it and say people go crazy and it sells for $30,000, then the person buying it can only take the amount above $10,000 as a donation, is what the IRS typically says. Now, again, this is not tax advice. We're not tax attorneys. We are not lawyers, so we cannot give that. I just know from the appraisal standpoint is that whenever we're asked about that and dealing with a benefit auction or somebody wants to benefit a piece or donate a piece of artwork to an auction, you know, I always remind them, look, get the fair market value because the donor can only take anything that is above that fair market value as a donation for that piece.
Well, the other thing to remember is human nature is such that anybody who, let's say they're not actually in the know, but they read this article and they're an artist, they think, you know, they're kind of doing a disservice. This article could really do a disservice only because they're going to only see what they want to see, and they don't know the regulations that go behind what the reporter, you know, if he has any research to back all of this stuff up. People don't know what Tim just spoke about, because all they think about is, oh, this is a great way for me as an artist to get tax deductions and reduce my tax bill because my art isn't selling in a gallery somewhere. And it just doesn't work like that. The regulations, you know, they're really cracking down on this stuff. So, I mean, it's artist beware. You know, you really have to know the regulations before you decide to dive in there and just give your art to an institution that says, oh, yeah, we'll put this up in a charity auction. But just because you put it in a charity auction doesn't necessarily mean that it's all going to be you're going to get tax deductions. There could be huge liabilities behind this if you don't know the regulations.
And it's not 100% tax deductible.
No.
It's only a percentage of the income. And basically the big thing here is what people do is when they sell a collection of art, obviously there are capital gains, and in order to avoid capital gains tax, is just like with a house and just like with real estate, everything else, you put it into another house or you put it into another work of art. And if you show that, then that's one way of avoiding the tax. But that becomes more of a tax issue, and you need to know and have good tax advice in order to do that, because there are a lot of other factors that go into it. And you can't just blanketly say, oh, here, just like you need to have professional advice.
All right. And something that we've talked about a lot in the past, and it's happened once again, heirs of a Jewish art critic have been forced to sell work that's worth an estimated $15 million. Why? Because it was taken by the Nazis and hidden in a barn for many, many years. And I think this is such a good thing that this is happening and continues to happen, because I don't care who you are. I don't care if you weren't a Nazi or part of the people that stole it originally. By holding on to it, you're just being plain wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, the part of the other issue is there have been cases where the person who purchased this like several times down the line and then it's discovered might not even have a clue what the provenance of this of a piece like that would be, and they might have paid thousands and thousands of dollars for a piece of art by a particular artist only to find out that after being the fourth person to buy it, that it has to go back because it doesn't belong to them. It was illegally obtained by, during World War II. So, I mean, there's also those sort of repercussions, but I think this has been something that's been going on quietly in the background with art for a number of years. And usually we only hear about the big pieces that are found and have to be returned for restitution. We don't hear about the other smaller pieces that it might be only, you know, maybe $5,000 or $10,000 that people have had to forfeit because of where it came from. But it's, I don't believe that the people who necessarily have those, all of those pieces that have come under question, necessarily are aware of its provenance. And this is why provenance is such an important thing in art, is to know where it came from. It doesn't really, you know, if you just go to an auction and buy a piece of art, you and you're spending $50,000 on it, you better believe you want to know where that came from and what its background is, because it's just careless not to do that.
Well, here's a question. Let's say somebody goes through a major auction house, does this, and then 5 years later finds out that it was stolen, it was hidden, it's, you know, you got to give it back. Is there any recourse to sue the auction house because they didn't do that? You're counting on them to do the due diligence.
That's true. That's a good question, Tim. I'm going to defer to Tim.
And I will say that it is customary for a lot, depending on the artists, because there would be certain artists during certain time periods that would fall into this. So there are a number of there are searches and search engines to check the databases if these were stolen prior, if there are anything that has been reported. So it has to have been reported. It's very much like it when we do appraisals and somebody says, oh, this was all stolen. Well, we need a copy of the police report because we need to make sure that it was in fact was in your possession and was stolen. And that the databases especially for the looted art and for stolen works of art, there are several of them. There's an art theft register that does get listed, and a lot of auction houses do check that out. Sometimes they're that's part of the due diligence, is to definitely do that. But there have been other smaller auction houses that paintings have been pulled the day of the auction because it was discovered that it was part of stolen property, and they have to sort that out. There's a long process that goes on, and again, that becomes more of a legal process, and thank goodness, knock wood, we have not been a part of that whole process of what that entails. But I do know that when there is any kind of question of provenance and validity of the history, and if there were any documents that were filed to state that, yes, this was in my possession at one point, now it is stolen, and now it's turned up at this auction, there's a lot of research that goes into that to make sure, because obviously people could just make claims left and right. So there's a lot of due diligence that goes into making sure the work gets back to the original owner.
And I'm sure
the other thing that people don't really think about is there even minor pieces of art that were stolen by the Nazis that somehow resurfaced. Just think how many Jews were displaced and killed during the Holocaust, and all of their possessions. There must be still thousands and thousands of pieces of art that have not been discovered. And so this is not something that's going to go away, and nor should it. I think technology today has really helped identify and track stolen art like this. And that's a good thing. And it's not going to ever go away, because there were so many paintings and pieces of art and jewelry. And it's not just the, it's not just art that it was taken. It's all sorts of decorative things. So this is going to be a, it's here to stay. And it's good to hear when these stories do come up, because a lot, as I say, I don't believe we hear very much about, you know, unless it's a major piece. In fact, the last, whenever we see these stories, you know, they don't come every day. So when it happens, it's usually a major piece. And as I say, there are so many minor pieces that are suffering the same fate. So we just have to be grateful that the registry is there. And when you buy art, if you don't know anything about it, make sure you find out the provenance before you pay on the dotted line, because once it's done, sooner or later, if there's something wrong with it, the person, you're going to have
to. If there's not clear title.
Not clear, yeah. Yeah.
That's where it comes down to. And actually, if you Google looted art, which I just did, you'll see all the different pieces that have either been returned or have been come up for auction or sold at auction. But the Holocaust Museum in Washington, D.C. has a great website on looted art, what it is, and the history of it, which I think it's important that people realize, you know, this is just something that did happen. And it's a good thing of what's going on is that it is being returned to the rightful owners and families, and it's their choice to make a decision as to what to do with it next.
All right. Always interesting, guys. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Bye, Marshall.
Bye-bye. Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Of course, you can find them at tqag.com on the web.